This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Every 10 years, the government conducts a national census. It's a huge undertaking, yields gobs of data on things like personal wealth, demographics, and population density. The one thing you won't find in the latest census report is names. For that, you'd have to wait 72 years. Keeping names under wraps for that long is one of the rules of the census. Next Monday, the federal government will release the whole of the 1940 census, names and all. So what difference does that make? Well, for demographers, historians, and genealogists, this is a cause for celebration. In fact, on Monday, the Department of Cultural Resources building in Raleigh is going to be music, dancing, current events, quiz about the 1940s, and of course, cake. Joe Newberry's with us. He's with the Department of Cultural Resources and joins me in the studio today. Joe, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Frank, thank you.
Also with us, Beth Hayden, who is a demographics and reference librarian for the state of North Carolina. Beth, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
And Rebecca Hyman is a reference and outreach librarian with the State Library of North Carolina. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Beth, the census happens every 10 years. We find out some of the data fairly quickly. What exactly is revealed 72 years later?
Well, you get a lot of good information, such as what the household relationship is, whether a child in the family could be a nephew or niece rather than a son or a daughter. You also find out where they lived, who their neighbors were, and what their occupation was.
So, and this is all some of the information, in addition to their names, right, Rebecca, that we find every 72 years. So does this happen every 10 – obviously every 10 years there's a new census that comes open. And do people get excited about this kind of every 10 years?
Yes, that is correct. I think for this year, for the information that's being released, this is such a big deal because this is the first time that a lot of people are going to see their parents – in these records, or sometimes even themselves. And this is also the first time that this information is only going to be released in digital form and will be free and accessible to anyone with the internet.
So, Joe, then this is kind of important to individuals who want to see maybe where their family was or if their family was tracked, right?
This is big information for sharing with folks across the country. Because it's the census that was right on the cusp of World War II. It was coming out of the 10 years of the Great Depression, and it's going to answer a lot of questions for folks that they might not have been able to determine because of privacy. I'm from Missouri, and when the 1940 census comes out, you'll be able to see that my grandfather changed jobs. He lost his job as a pastor of a church. You'll see that they changed their residence because they had to move back to the farm because they could not make it in town. They had to go someplace where they could raise their own food. So it's really, the census is about people.
Individuals. So if I was interested in genealogy, Beth, I guess this would be great because now I can actually see a name and find out where you are. And where you've been, because there was a question in the 1940 census that hadn't appeared before.
Right. There were a lot of new questions in the 1940 census, and there was, in particular, a question where a person lived in 1935, and that's going to be wonderful information for genealogists.
So that's part of it. How much of this, Joe, is actually going to be useful to historians? In other words, big picture kinds of things.
It's going to be very useful to historians when they're looking at migration patterns. Think Grapes of Wrath. Think of people moving from the center of the country, the Dust Bowl area, out to California, you know, like the old song says, where the handouts grow on bushes and you can sleep out every night. I mean, people made these mass migrations, and this tracks it, and it allows folks to study, as you said, the big picture.
Rebecca, as you said, this is the first time it's going to be available in digital form. That means we can all get at it?
Yes, that is correct. Because you can look at past censuses, either on microfilm, or you can go to the library, or you need to pay for access to it through an online database. But for the 1940 census records, they will all be free
online. Pretty easy to use?
Well, not at first.
I'm not going to have to hire you to find my mother. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you can come into the library and we're happy to help you because that's what we do. But nothing will be indexed as of April 2nd if you're going to log on to the National Archives website to find to use the records. You'll need to be prepared, and that's where the library comes in and where, as a genealogist, you will need to do some legwork. So you'll need to know who you're searching for, as well as you need to know where they live. So you can look at old family papers, address books. You could go to your local library or to the state library to use city directories. Any type of records that has an address, you can use that to then gain access to the information you will find starting April 2nd.
Well, heck, if I know all that, what's left to learn, Beth?
Oh, there's lots to learn. For example, you can find out whether or not one of your relatives might have worked in an emergency relief program like the CCC or the WPA. You can see how the Great Depression affected your family. Did they have to change their occupation? And this one's actually going to also tell you educational attainment and language, native language of the parents and where the parents were born.
Well, so this is all great stuff, Joe. But, we think about the census as kind of a national. I mean, it's mandated in the Constitution, so it's been with us since, 1790, I guess.
1790, yes.
The first one. Why the State Department of Cultural Resources? Why is the state of North Carolina taking a particular interest in this?
Well, our job is to promote and protect the state's cultural heritage. And one of our divisions is the State Library, and within the State Library is the Government and Heritage Library. And it exists to catalog and promote and protect the records of the state. And when you go to the state library, it's amazing when you go into the genealogy section. I got to say, genealogy, is really, really a hot topic. And if you aren't a genealogist, I guarantee you, one of your aunts or one of your uncles is always asking you, don't you want to come see all these records? Yep. So when you go to the state library, my family left North Carolina in 1837. I went to the state library into the genealogy section, and I said, Newberry's. And there it was, the Newberry family of Wilkes County, North Carolina.
That was just 10 years before you were born.
Well, that's true. I tell people I'm not from here, but I got here as quick as I could.
So that's interesting. Have we learned anything in previous censuses when this whole new, these volumes of information are released? Have they ever changed anything about what we know about the state of North Carolina? I mean, culturally, historically, do we ever come up with new ideas about who we are and where we came from as a result of the information that's released? And the answer might be no, because the big questions have all been answered by historians. But I just wonder if there's kind of any little kernels in here that can give us a different idea about where
we came from. Well, certainly the census is used for congressional districts. Right. if you if you have a bigger population over the 10 years, they will adjust how many representatives.
Sure, that's every 10 years. But I'm just wondering, when you go back 72 years, the new information that we hadn't known for 72 years, if that ever changes what historians thought about us.
I would wager maybe on the personal level more.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely more on the personal level. But at that time, of course, for 1940, the actual census itself played a huge role in us preparing to go to World War II.
And now there's going to be a party. Tell us about the party.
Tell us about the cake, Rebecca. That's what.
there will be cake. So hopefully everyone will come besides for the cake. But so on Monday,
April. Is it a 72-year-old cake?
No. It will be baked fresh that morning.
All right.
So on Monday, April 2nd, starting at 11 a.m. So if you wanted to log on to the National Archives site to see if you can find the records, you can. But just make sure you come in time for our program that starts at 11 a.m. at the North Carolina Department of Cultural Resources building, which is located in downtown Raleigh. And we'll be having 1940s music and current event quiz, and we're going to have show some films from the National Archives because they had the first PR campaign for the census in 1940. So they have some pretty cool films on YouTube. And then we're going to have someone from the Museum of History showcasing and displaying 1940s games and clothing and things like that. And then we'll have someone from the Census Bureau talking about the importance of the record. So it should be a lot of fun, and it's free, and we hope everyone can come on down.
Sounds like a great party.
Yeah, man. I love the idea of with Facebook now and social media, how it's going to change in 70 years when they release the 2010 census.
We'll already know everything.
We'll already know everything.
Or we'll find out how much we've been lying about everything we've been telling. That's the cool thing.
There you go.
Joe Newberry, Department of Cultural Resources, Beth Hayden, Demographics and Reference Librarian with the State of North Carolina, and Rebecca Hyman, a Reference Librarian and Outreach Librarian with the State Library in North Carolina. Monday, April 12th, 11 o'clock, the fun begins at the Cultural Resources Building in Raleigh, celebration of the 1940 Census, collaboration with the Museum of History. Representative of the Census Bureau is going to be there. For more information, ncdr.gov. Just ahead, as global warming changes the shape of land masses and coastlines, a lot of countries are asking where the Arctic leaves off and where national borders begin. Who owns the Arctic? Stay tuned to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.